Let me have a word of prayer as we get into Psalm 118, as we thank God this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity that we have together to come together in fellowship, koinonia, a gathering of people desiring for you to change us, Lord, to cause us to live lives that are geared towards you and to make you famous. And so, God, we come to this psalm, Psalm 118, and I pray that we as a people would take joy in all that you have provided to those who call on you as Savior. Jesus, thank you. We pray these things in your name. Amen. So, Thanksgiving service, I thought it'd be appropriate to go to Psalm 118, which is considered a psalm of thanksgiving. Throughout Scripture, you see this as a theme, this giving thanks. In Paul's letter to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul admonishes us to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. To give thanks literally means an expression, an outwardly expression, an actively being grateful for all that God has done for you. The mark of someone who may think they know God, but God does not know them, is a mark of ingratitude, living a life without thankfulness. We see this in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. As Paul again writes, for although they knew God, that doesn't mean a personal relationship with God. That just means that through creation, there is a group of people that have no excuse. They know there's a God. They just don't know the personal Lord Jesus Christ. So although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or what? Give thanks to him. For they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Sometimes, as followers of Jesus Christ, when we face troubles and times of difficulty in our lives, we get what I call spiritual amnesia. We forget about God's grace. A good way of reestablishing a grateful heart is to set aside time individually on a daily basis and remember God's provisions for you and give him thanks. When the children of Israel found themselves in hot water, in a hot desert, after God had delivered them from the Egyptians, they developed this spiritual amnesia. They began to wish they went back to Egypt, enjoying all their foods. Look at Exodus chapter 16 as we see this spiritual amnesia. It says, the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled and complained, the word is murmur, against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. They complained to God, this God who had sent all these plagues to deliver them from the hands of Egypt. They complained about their drinking water. Chapter 17, verses 2 and 3. Therefore, the people again started to complain. Give us water to drink. Moses said to them, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord? But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained and grumbled. Why did you bring us out of Egypt? To kill us, our children, our livestock, with thirst. They had forgotten the mighty acts of God. They become ungrateful. God had showered them with gifts. God had showered them with everything that they needed. We read this in Exodus chapter 12, verse 36. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of Egyptians so that they let them have what they asked. Literally, the Egyptians would just give the people of Israel anything they asked. They had everything they need. So, let me ask you a high point. When you find yourself trapped in your circumstances, what do you do? The psalmist challenges us to give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His steadfast love endures forever. This steadfast love, this is the word for mercy. Believer in Jesus Christ, you have been given mercy. You've been given something you don't deserve. You actually deserve death. You actually deserve hell. And God is pouring out His mercy on those who put their trust in God. So give thanks, no matter the circumstances. See, by remembering the specific ways by which God has provided to us, we can change our perspective for the better. Psalm 118 was Martin Luther's favorite psalm. Martin Luther, the great theologian in the 1500s, former Catholic monk, wrote this about Psalm 118. He said this, "This is my psalm, my chosen psalm. I love them all. I love all of the Holy Scriptures, which is my consolation and my life, but this psalm is nearest to my heart. I have a particular right to call it mine. It has saved me from the many pressing dangers from which nor emperor, nor kings, nor sages, nor saints could ever have saved me. It is my friend, dearer to me than all the honors and power of the earth." Verse 17 of Psalm 118 says, "I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord." This was actually on a plaque on Martin Luther's desk. He loved this psalm so much. Many of his reformers in the 1500s were being killed, but he was cheered on by this verse, by this psalm, and he was perfectly safe as he did the work of the Lord. High point. There is much help in this psalm for us. If you have a hard time, if you are having a hard time being thankful this morning, let this psalm be a salve to your soul. In context, we are not sure who wrote this psalm. Some say David, some say Hezekiah. But we do know that the first 18 verses, the psalmist and the other worshipers of God are on their way to a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And one of the great feasts, possibly Passover, is what many would say. From verses 19 through 29, the worshipers are arriving at the temple, where that worship continues, praising God, being thankful for what God has done. They would sing this psalm to remind themselves of what God has provided. It was a very festive time, similar to what we're doing this morning. Anyone whom God has saved can relate to this psalmist as he gives us reasons to be thankful. So let's look at them. Three things, I broke them out into the three sections of these verses. But the first thing that I see the psalmist is thankful for is this, that the Lord is on my side. Look at verses 1 through 9 with me again, but specifically look at verses 6 through 9. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Follower of Jesus Christ, you can be thankful this morning because the Lord is on your side. In the New Testament, we read, Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, he says, if God is for us, who can be against us? The God of the universe is on your side. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, no matter what you have going against you, no matter who is against you, God is on your side. This is a word of confidence to those of us who call Jesus Lord and Savior. What can man do to you? As a believer, we understand God's mercy in that we don't get what we deserve. As we look at the past in our life, we can see that God has cared for us every step of the way. This is follower of Jesus Christ. You can look back and you can say, okay, God, I see how you are working. As you look at your present circumstances, you need to know that He is with you. He's right alongside you. And we can look to the future and know that He is absolutely ahead of us. He is doing a work behind the scenes that even if He were to tell you, you wouldn't believe it. We learned in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. In the New Testament, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, we read that Paul writes, and I'm sure of this, that He, meaning God, who began a good work in you, will bring it to completion at the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, follower of Jesus Christ, you can respond out of a grateful heart that you will not fear. What can man do to you? What can man do to you? In other words, God is saying, fear Him, not humans. Jesus taught this to His disciples as they were going to face immense persecution when Jesus left and during the time in which He was there by the Pharisees. But in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, it says, and do not fear those who can kill your body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear Him, meaning God, whom can destroy both soul and body in hell. See, when you fear God, you need not fear anything else. To fear God means to love Him, to revere Him, to respect Him. Listen, no matter what difficulties you are experiencing, the Lord is on your side. You don't have to fear the past. You don't have to fear the present nor the future. And you can have that assurance and confidence. And we can be thankful. And thank God. The second thing I see, it's found in really the verses 10 through 18. Not only can we be thankful that the Lord is on our side, but we can be thankful because the Lord is my strength and my song. Look at verses 10 through 18 with me. But I want to focus on verses 14 through 18. It says, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but He has not given me over to death. If you were with us in our study in Habakkuk, you would have remembered that Habakkuk, in his prayer to God in in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 19, said this very thing. He said, God, the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like a deer. He makes me tread on high places to the choir master with stringed instruments. It was a song that Habakkuk sang as he prayed. The Lord is my strength and my song. This is something, follower of Jesus Christ, you can be thankful for this morning. This is found throughout scriptures. We see it in Exodus chapter 15. Again, the Israelites were saying, the Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, I will exalt him. Isaiah the prophet said this very thing. He says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, and I will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. See, the Israelites sing this song. They would sing these words as God was delivering them from the Egyptians. As they saw their enemies perish, they worshiped and praised, knowing that it was God's strength that was delivering them. In Isaiah chapter 12, again, the Israelites would sing this very song as a future promise that even though God would bring them through trials and tribulations, that the future of the believer in God was hopeful. We can sing this with joy as well. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, God is our strength. He doesn't desire for you to pick up your bootstraps and tackle the world. He will tackle the world for you as you follow him. God takes care of the demands of life. Let me ask you something. Where do you find your strength this morning? Is it in your experiences? Maybe your health? Maybe your money? Maybe it's your job? All these things, listen to me, can be taken away at a moment. Only the strength of the Lord can meet the demands of your life, follower of Jesus Christ. Isaiah said, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Do you believe that? He is our strength and he is our song. God takes care of not only the demands of life, but he absolutely takes care of the dullness of our life. Many people have gone through boring, tedious things. Perhaps it's your job, whatever it might be going through. You might say, this isn't exciting enough. My life is boring. Perhaps you can't get out of what you're doing and you wish you had other privileges that other people have. What you can be thankful for is if you know Jesus Christ, he is your song. He brings joy to a dull life. Believers, do you have that song of praise? For not only does God take care of the demands of your life, but the dullness of your life. Listen, there shouldn't be a boring Christian. There's plenty of things to do for the Lord if you are grateful for him. Be thankful. Thank God. Not only is the Lord on our side, follower of Jesus Christ, not only is the Lord my strength and my song, but finally, the Lord made this day. The Lord made this day. Look at verse 24 with me. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. When you're having one of those difficult days, when you feel like you're in a storm, a battle is raging, your burdens are heavy, your heart is broken, the tears are flowing, it feels like everyone is turned against you, that is a time to heed this verse. The psalmist was going through battles. This psalmist was going through difficulties, yet he was able to say, if God put this day together, I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Even though I may not see the blessings of this day, eventually, by faith, I will be able to say, it worked all together for your good, Lord. This song, Psalm 118, was typically a song that was sung right after Passover. Now, why does that make, why should that be a big deal? Well, listen, this would have been a song Jesus sang right before he went to the cross. See, Jesus celebrated Passover with all of his disciples. This would have been a song he sang right after they were done with Passover meal, hours before Jesus would be on the cross. If Jesus sang this song and he was about to be crucified, can you imagine saying this on the way to your struggles? This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the crowds cried out the words of verses 25 through 26. Let me read them. In Psalm 118, verse 25, it says, "Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord." Listen, as Jesus was coming in to Jerusalem, this was the very psalm they quoted. We see this found in Matthew 21, verse 9. "And the crowds went before them and followed, shouting, Hosanna, son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, God saves in the highest." If Jesus sang this song on the way to Calvary, we should sing this song also. Perhaps your day is filled with overwhelming burdens, sorrows. Jesus can relate. And yet he sang, "This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it." We need to accept the day is the day that God has given us and acknowledge he is in charge. Be thankful. Thank God. Follower of Jesus Christ, you can thank God because he's on your side. You can thank God because he is your strength and your song. And you can thank God because it's a day he made. Today, he made this day. As we close, if you've experienced God's salvation through Jesus Christ, then you should be filled with joy and thanksgiving. You should be able to say, like verse 28 and 29 of Psalm 118, listen to this personal plea. Listen to this personal word. "You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy, his steadfast love endures forever." We look back real quick to verse 22. I want to make a point in the closing is this. In verse 22, it says, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." Peter used this very verse as he was preaching at the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 4, referring to Jesus Christ himself. Look at Acts chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 with me real quick. Then Jesus, this is what Peter was saying in the Sanhedrin, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, and there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. In Acts chapter 4, Peter is testifying that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and Peter boldly professed that. He is the stone. And there is salvation in no one else. In Peter's letter in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, again he refers to it. He says, so the honor is for you who believe. For those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. He goes on to speak about how he has been saved by God's grace through Jesus Christ. So that what? Verse 9, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into a marvelous light. That's what Psalm 118 is all about. Proclaiming the excellencies of God's salvation to those of us who have salvation in Christ alone. You have so much to be thankful, follower of Christ. He is on your side. He is your strength and song, and he is making a day for you to give him glory. There are some here, no doubt, that cannot proclaim the excellencies of Christ because you're still relying on your good works to get you to heaven. That somehow you're good enough to go to heaven. The Bible clearly says there is no one righteous, no, not one. We're all in the same boat. We are all in great need of saving. You must put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. You must confess your sin before a holy God, put Jesus Christ on the cross. You must rely on Jesus' work alone for your salvation, or you will never proclaim the excellencies of God. And you have foregone God's mercy. Believe the gospel. Believe the gospel for your salvation today. This is the day the Lord has made. Will you rejoice and be glad in it? The final verse I want to share with you is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. This is how glorious a day it could be for you. Paul writes, for he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of your salvation. Will you rejoice? Will you proclaim the excellencies of Jesus Christ? It starts with salvation in Christ alone. And then everything you do after that is a product of a joy, a thankfulness that you already have. I am so thankful for all of you. I am thankful we can come together and worship and praise Jesus Christ. Because we have much to be thankful for. Amen. All God's people said, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Jesus, I thank you. For you are good. and you are worthy to be praised. For it's in your name I pray. Amen.